Earth and Sky.
The U.S. presidential candidates need to show where they stand on matters of science policy. That's according to Science Debate 2008, a citizen-led initiative to bring science to the debate podium of the next leader of the U.S. Sean Lawrence Otto is on the steering committee for Science Debate 2008, and he spoke with us while in Austin to talk with NPR journalists on science in an election year. Sean, welcome back to Earth Sky.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So tell me a little bit about what brings you to Austin. There's a workshop for journalists, science journalists here. What's on your mind? What do you have to tell us today?
Right. Well, this is it's a pretty great idea. It's funded by a grant from the NSF, and it's a workshop for National Public Radio science reporters from around the country talking about how to report on science, and specifically my talk is science in the election.
As we get closer and closer to election day, what's important here?
Yeah. Well, you know, it used to be when I was a kid that if there was a moonshot, all the classes were canceled. This nation gathered all its kids in its auditoriums and wheeled in a TV, and everybody watched that rocket take off. That's how committed we were to science. That has really changed in the last 20, 25 years. I don't want to date myself too much here. But, we have become a nation that really is not focusing in our political debate on science and technology anymore. You know, part of that was maybe because of Sputnik and the sense of competition with the Soviet Union. We needed to get ahead of them, and we made that a national priority. And, on May 25th, 1961, John F. Kennedy made a historic speech saying that we need to mobilize and marshal our forces as a nation as we really have never done before, and that before this decade is out, we will put a man on the moon and return him safely to Earth. We haven't had an opponent like the Soviet Union since the 80s, and our opponents now are much more diffuse, variegated, and they are not marshaling equal scientific resources, so we don't have a sense of competition with them that way.
What do you think might be the next Sputnik, and who might be behind it?
Well, there are two Sputniks really coming up that we need to be concerned about as a nation. One of them is climate change. Every Nobel laureate that I've talked to in this process, and I've talked to a lot of them now, agrees essentially with the statement that the next 1 to 2 presidential administrations are most likely going to determine the quality of life on Earth for the foreseeable future. Now, those are pretty dire words coming from people who are generally conservative in their word choice. Now, there's another Sputnik, and that is the rise of Asian economies. Since World War II, when we inherited a great deal of intellectual capital from immigrants coming from Europe principally, science and technology have been responsible for half of our economic growth. That's a huge economic engine. But by 2010, 90% of all scientists and engineers will be living in Asia. That's a very big change in the fundamental economics of the globe, particularly as they relate to the United States and its ability to continue to maintain its economy. So we are really in a competition with the erosion of planetary climate stability and with Asian countries that are coming online in a first world economy where they have labor costs that are much lower than ours. So how are we going to compete? And that's really what this is about. And those are just two of the major questions that are really not being discussed at all in this electoral process.
Tell me a little bit about the organization that you're with, the Science Debate 2008.
Yeah, well, Science Debate 2008 is a organization that was started by me and another screenwriter, Matthew Chapman. It was his original idea. And Lawrence Krauss, the astrophysicist, and Chris Mooney, the science journalist, and Cheryl Kirschenbaum, a marine biologist out of Duke, and Austin Dacey, a philosopher. And we got together and we decided that we needed to try to do something to elevate science and technology issues in our national political dialogue. that these things weren't being talked about and that they were too important, and it seemed odd and bizarre and unconscionable that they really weren't being talked about when they're really on a lot of people's minds. So we began to reach out to all of our contacts, and the upshot is within 3.5 months, we got to the point where we had 37,000 scientists and engineers signed on, 95 university presidents, 160 major universities and other organizations, the National Academy of Sciences, the National Academy of Engineering, the Institute of Medicine, the AAAS, American Association for the Advancement of Science, and the Council on Competitiveness all agreed to co-sponsor this. So it's really a no-brainer for anybody that's involved in the field. And suddenly we found that virtually the majority of the American science establishment came together behind this idea, which is something that's never happened before in the history of science. So we were very excited about that, and we put together a debate to be held at the Franklin Institute on April 18th, which is 4 days before the Pennsylvania primary. The Franklin Institute is the nation's memorial to Benjamin Franklin, who's one of our early scientists and statesmen. So we thought it was a perfect venue in Philadelphia. We invited the candidates, and we have not heard any commitments yet. We have heard a decline. The Obama campaign declined. The Clinton campaign was noncommittal, and the McCain campaign was non-responsive.
Why are they not stepping forward to this challenge? What's going on? What did they tell you?
Anecdotally, we heard that this would require a lot of preparation and that it seemed very risky for the amount of preparation and time that it would take. But from our point of view, that's the whole point. You know, that's why we're doing this. These people need to start prioritizing these issues, and they need to start thinking about them, and we'd rather they do it before somebody's elected than after. So we're going to keep going. You know, if it doesn't happen in Philadelphia, we've just announced that we have formed a partnership with NOVA, the PBS science show, and now on PBS, the PBS Weekly News show, to do a debate that will be moderated by David Brancaccio, NOW's host, with a panel of internationally known scientists backing him up. And that we proposed to the campaigns that we host this in Oregon several weeks before the Oregon primary, which is May 20th. That just went out at the end of last week. We're hopeful we'll get a response, but we're not holding our breath either. We're going to keep going and keep working to elevate the issue if they don't respond here. We've even told them that we'll show them the 10 questions that we're thinking about asking in advance so they can study like an open book test. We'll see what they say.
No quizzes.
That's right. This is about policy, really, you know, and we're not interested in giving anybody a science quiz. We're not interested in showing anybody up. We want to find out what their policy positions are in these very important topics.
Thanks to Sean Lawrence Otto, main organizer of Science Debate 2008. You can subscribe to this and other free science podcasts at our website. Just visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Jorge Salazar for EarthSky's Clear Voices for Science podcast.
We're at earthsky.org.